And Deuteronomy, opening of scriptures in chapter 30 of the book of Deuteronomy. And we're reading from the verse number 15. Can I say a word of thanks to the elders here, and especially your minister, Mr. Harris, for the invitation to come and to be with you on this very special occasion for your anniversary. I count it an honor to be here. And we certainly love our brother and sister in the Lord. It's certainly good to renew fellowship with our sister, and we certainly pray very much, and we'll continue to do so for your minister, and we pray that God will continue to heal him, and that God's hand will be gracious upon him. And we know that God's able, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and so therefore we're going to leave him in the Lord's hand and rejoice for what God is doing, even in his life and in his ministry. And we pray that God will use him continually for the glory and the honor of the Savior. Do pray to that end as well. If you know and love the Lord, pray for him that God will indeed touch him. Let's read the scriptures together here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we commence reading there at verse number 15. See, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mightest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abram and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. We're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's pray together, please. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou will help us to minister thy word as thou hast called us to do. We pray that you'll give us the liberty and the power of the Holy Ghost to do that. For realize, our God, it's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so to this end, O God, I pray that thou will help me to exalt the Lord Jesus and uplift his name. For thy word says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so I pray in Jesus' name that thou will indeed draw precious souls to Christ tonight, that there might be indeed a work done in hearts, and that there might be many in this congregation will turn and receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. We thank thee for the little boys and girls. We thank thee for the children. We thank thee for their parents. We thank thee for the seniors in this gathering. Father, thou knowest every heart, and whatever the need is of their hearts, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt meet them at the very point of that individual need. Hear and answer our prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, in verse number 19, it says this. Moses says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now remember, Moses is coming near the end of his life. God's about to take him home and take him out of the way, and Joshua is going to take over the leadership of the children of Israel and lead them into the land of promise. But before he goes, he gives them a final challenge. He says, I have set before you, verse 19, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says these words, therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose life. Remember, another person was coming near the end of his life's journey. And if you turn with me to the book of Joshua, just for a moment, in the book of Joshua, in the chapter 23, and Joshua is acknowledging that he is near the end of the task that God is for him. And in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, and behold, this day, he says, I am going the way of all the earth. And friend, I don't know how many years God will give you or me. God has given me 70 years. I don't know what God will give me more. But I don't care how many days that God gives you, it always comes to this day. It always comes to the last day. No matter how many days you get, you remember the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And yet, friend, with all of the days that God gives you, it always comes to us what Joshua says, behold, this day. Yes, he acknowledges it's come to that. At least he knew when it was coming. So many men and women, let me tell you, we know not the day of our death. And Joshua says, I know that I'm going this day all the way, the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. He's acknowledging that nothing has failed. And then he says this, turning to the next chapter, chapter 24 of Joshua. And there in verse number 15 he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now Moses said, I have set before you life and death. He said, choose life. And Joshua is saying here, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He says, as for me and my house, our choice is we're serving the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you tonight upon the subject of choices. Because let me tell you, life is filled with choices. An infinite amount of choices. Far more than you ever think. For example, we choose when we go to bed. We make a choice what time we'll rise in the morning. And yet many people forget it's if the Lord will, we'll rise in the morning. But they leave the Lord out of it. But they've always risen before, and so therefore, you'll rise tomorrow too. Or will you? You'll find, friend, that that's not in your hand. That's in the hand of God. But you see, we make the choice. We choose what and when we'll eat. Sometimes we'll choose to eat a good breakfast, and others say, well, no, I don't do that. I make a different choice. We choose what we wear. We choose what to do with our time. We choose where we're to work. You chose tonight to come to this meeting. Because you see, you make your choice. And whether you know it or not, you make choices day by day, many of them. Now, some of the choices we make are small. They're considered as if they're very little. They have little impact upon our lives. But never be dismissive of those choices, friend. Because let me tell you, sometimes it's a little choice that changes the direction of your life completely. Some choices, they're quite easy to make. Other choices, they're difficult. Some choices we make that change our lives completely, and even the lives of others. Let's be honest. Some of the choices we've made, we regret. We say, I wish I hadn't made that choice. Yes, some of the choices will follow us all the days of our lives, and they'll haunt us for the rest of our days. Now, I want you to remember this. Remember this carefully. You are free to make your choice. Listen to me carefully. But you're not free to choose the consequences. Just remember that thought. You are free to make your choice. But remember, you are not free to make the consequences. Some person can say, "Well, I'll step out of a 10-story building and I'll defy the law of gravity. That's my choice." You know what you'll find? You'll not break the law of gravity, friend. The law of gravity will break you. You see, you do not choose the consequence. And I want us to think tonight, because Moses said, I said this before you, choose life. Joshua said, choose ye this day. You've got to make a choice today whom ye will serve. And I want to talk about three people who made their choice. But friend, let me tell you, they didn't choose the consequences. They lived with the consequences. Just remember that. Now, the first one is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 13. The first one who makes a choice is a man called Lot. In the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, when you go back to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, you find that God speaks to Abraham, and God says to Abraham, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your country, and I want you to come with me. I want you to come on a journey with me to a land that I will show you. You know what Abraham did? He went. By faith, he went. But friend, just as he was about to go, his father Terah said to him, Abram, where are you going, son? He says, Dad, God has spoken. Remember, he was brought up in a heathen family circle. And he said, God has spoken to me, the God of Israel has spoken, and God has told me that I have got to go with him. Now, he hasn't told me where to go, but I've got to go by faith. Terah, his father, he says, I'm going with you. Now, God told him to leave his kindred. But Terah wouldn't let him. His father says, I'm going too. And the Bible tells us that Terah went with him, and also Abram's nephew, Lot, his brother's son. And they say, we're going too. And so they went with him. Now, the word Terah means delay. That's what the name means, delay. And that's exactly what happened, because they went so far and his father said, Abraham, we're stopping here. God didn't tell him it. His father did. You're stopping here. And Abram lost at least 5 years settling down at a place called Haran. And Haran means parched. And let me tell you, my friend, those were dry years. The ground of Abram's life, because he was not walking in obedience to God. He was listening to his father. And he stopped at Haran. Do you know what God had to do, friend? God had to take his father away. And God says, Terah, you're coming home. And God took Terah away, friend. And whenever God took Terah away from Abraham and took him out of the picture, Abram started to walk the walk of faith again. And went with God, the walk of faith. But remember, Lot's still there. Now, God blesses Abraham with crops and with cattle and men servants and oxen and women servants and all the rest of them. They're richly blessed. And God blesses Lot as well. In actual fact, they're so blessed and they've got so much that the servants of Lot start to argue with the servants of Abraham and they start falling out. Now, Abraham, he looked at the situation. He said, you know, Lot, this is not right. We are brethren. And brethren ought not to fall out. They ought not to fight with the one with the other. We're not enemies. We're brethren. He said, I'll tell you what to do, Lot. I want you to look out there, and if you take left, he said, I'll go right, and if you take right, I'll go left. He had a big heart. Abraham had a big heart. And you know, Lot looked out, and the Bible tells us in that 13th chapter, Lot looked out on the plain, and there he saw, there in certain place, as he saw the ground, he saw the plush ground. Look at verse number 10. Of chapter 13, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Soar. Then, mark verse number 11, then Lot chose. There's the choice. Lot chose him. Mark those words. Lot chose him. You see, it was all about Lot. And whenever Lot looked out, he wasn't thinking about Abraham. He wasn't thinking about God. Let me tell you, he never asked God what to do. He never said, oh God, I want you to show me. Where am I to go? Am I going to the right hand? Am I going to the left? Lord, give me guidance. I dare not take a step out of your will. No, he didn't ask God anything, friend. It says, and Lot chose him. It was all about him. And he looked out there and he saw the plush ground and grass, the well-watered plain. He said, that's it. That's for me. You see, his choice was all about me. It wasn't about God. It wasn't what was right. It was all about me. And that's all he was concerned, friend, because of his possessions. And as he looked out there, all he could think about, listen, where's the best place for my cattle? Where's the best place where I'm going to prosper? Here's what he didn't think about. Never thought about his children. All he thought about was cattle. And he made a wrong choice. You see, friend, the place where he was looking out, Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a sinful place. And the people of that city sinned grievously and wickedly against the God of heaven. And the Bible says, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. For all he could see, what's good for me? What's in it for me? He didn't care what was right. All he cared was me, my needs, my rights, my wants. And the Bible says, in verse 12 of chapter 13, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then go to chapter 14 and verse 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. And friend, what do we find was this? That Lot started, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then the Bible says he dwelt in Sodom, and then the Word of God says he became one of the chief men in Sodom. He sat at the gate as a counselor of Sodom. He was no longer a pilgrim in tents. He was no longer a sojourner. He settled down there. He raised his family in a sinful place, and he paid an awful price. He made the wrong choice. Let me tell you, friend, how many men and women and young people are making choices every day. And I'll tell you this. There came a day when Lot regretted the choice. But there was no going back. Natural fact, he lost his wife. And he lost his testimony. His sons-in-law, whenever Lot was told by the angel that God was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, "Boys, come on, get out of the city." And the sons laughed at him. They said, "What are you talking about? Didn't you bring us here? Didn't you bring us here? Now you're telling us there's going to be judgment upon the city." And the sons-in-law mocked him. You know, friend, let me tell you. And then he lost his morality because Lot had two children, two incestuous children with his daughters, all because of a wrong choice. Now you can make your choice, friend, but you live with the consequences. The second person I want you to notice in the scriptures, turn to the book of Ruth. And when you turn to the book of Ruth, you find there in the book of Ruth, that's after Judges, you come to the book of Ruth, and chapter 1 and verse 1 it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." You see, the days of the judges in Israel, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Man thought he could sin and get away with it. It's just the same today. People can think, you know, nobody tells me what to do. I'm the boss. I'm the person that's my hand on the steering wheel. I'm the one that's the master of my life, and I can do whatever I like, and God can't even tell me what I ought to do. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And so we find that because of this, the Bible says there was a famine in the land of Judah. Verse 1, "And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was called Elimelech." Now Bethlehem was known as the house of bread. But there was a famine. God sent his judgment upon the nation and upon the people because of their sin. He was a man from Bethlehem. He was a man from Bethlehem, Judah. Judah means praise the Lord or praise Jehovah. But let me tell you, my friend, there's not much joy here. Because of sin, he lost the joy. What did the psalmist pray in Psalm 51? "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And friend, let me tell you, if you're here tonight and you're backslid, I tell you, you're miserable. You've lost the joy of salvation. What an awful place to be in. A person that once knew the joy of the Lord and the peace of God within their soul and the joy of sins forgiven and putting their head upon the pillow at night and knowing that God was your heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ was your wonderful Savior, and no matter what happened, you were in God's hand and nothing could happen outside of God's sovereign and God's perfect will. You were in a great place. And not only had you peace with God, but you experienced in your heart the peace of God. But now you've lost that. There's no joy. Now the word Elimelech, it means God is my king. Or my king is God. In other words, he was raised up in a godly home. He had a godly father. He had a godly mother. And even though there was sin in the nation, here were people that were true. And whenever it came to calling their child, what did they call? Even in the midst of all the heathen worshiping, all the pagan worshiping, all the idolatry, they said, oh, we're calling our son Elimelech because my God is king. He's king. He's Lord of everything. You see, you could be brought up in a Christian home, friend. You could have a godly father and a godly mother, but that doesn't take you to heaven. You'd have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to personally come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. And here we find Elimelech is now faced with a famine. What is he going to do? Notice again, doesn't ask God. It says, and Elimelech went to sojourn in the country of Moab. They were the enemies of God's people. And instead of trusting God to see him through the famine, instead of putting himself completely into God's hand and saying, God, you're my king, and I can trust you in the midst of the situation, no matter what the trial is, Lord, I can trust you. But he never asked God, he never sought the face of God. He made a choice. You know what he decided to do? He decided to go and sojourn in the land of Moab. In other words, he didn't intend to stay. But you know what happened, friend? He never left it. Never left it. Do you know why? Because he died there. God took him away. Is walking in disobedience against the Lord. And let me tell you, sometimes, my friend, sometimes God has to say to his child who's walking in disobedience and they won't listen to the correction of God. Sometimes God says, party's over. You're coming home. God took him away. God took him away. And not only did God take him away, listen, friend. God took his two sons away. And they went to Egypt to get food and to get fortune. You know what they got? Three graves. That's all they got. Three graves. Now, Elimelech's wife was called Ruth. Elimelech's wife was called Naomi. Her name meant pleasant. And you know, whenever she came to the place where her husband was dead and her sons, her two boys were dead and all she had down in this land was just simply three tombstones. It wasn't to be that way. My friend, they were leaving Bethlehem, Judah, to get away from hunger, to get away from the famine, to get away from death. And yet they walked into it. And then one day she heard that Bethlehem had got plenty of food. And she was making her way back. And when she came into the city, the people looked at her and they couldn't believe it. They said, "Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi?" You know what she said, friend? "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Naomi means pleasant. You know what Mara means? Bitter. Bitter. She says, "The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me." Friend, you cannot walk in disobedience against the Lord, friend. And if you're here tonight and you are a backslider, I want to tell you, you can't walk in disobedience against your God and trample your Savior's name in the ground with a broken testimony and living a wasted life against the Lord Jesus who bought you with his precious blood. And don't expect God to chastise you. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And if God doesn't deal with you, then I have to tell you, I don't believe you're ever saved. All you had was a profession. Because whom the Father loveth, he chastens. He chastens his children. He corrects them. He seeks to bring them back from their folly and back from the far country. You see, friend, Elimelech made his choice for provisions. He made a wrong choice. And Naomi lived with the consequences. He never chose the consequence. He never intended to go to get a grave in Moab. He never intended it for that way. He was going there to get everything that his heart's desired. He wanted food. He wanted provisions for the family. He made his choice as he thought for the better. But he made the wrong choice. And his loved one lived with a consequence. The last one is found in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, we read about a man called Pilate. Pilate was an important person in the land, in Jerusalem at that time. Pilate was the governor. He made decisions. He's face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. The people were crying out against the Lord Jesus. The chief priests and the scribes, they were wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to be put to death. And Pilate, he knew that Jesus Christ was faultless. And even when Eric questioned him, he could find no fault in him. He turned to them and he said, "Listen, I find no fault in this man." He knew that it was out of envy they were calling for the blood of Jesus. It wasn't because of his wrongdoing. And one day Pilate was sitting upon the judgment seat to make a decision. And as he was sitting there, a message came from his wife. And she sent a message to her husband. She says, "Pilate, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things in a dream this day because of him." And you see the words, "have thou nothing to do." Those words in the original means, "let there be nothing between thee and that righteous man." Don't condemn him, Pilate. Here was his loved one and she was crying out. She said, "Listen, he's a just man." Testimony of his own wife. Because she said, "I've suffered." Providentially, God in a dream had spoken to her heart. And she begged him not to condemn Jesus to death. in his heart, there was a conflict. Oh, he knew what was right. He knew what he ought to do. And now there's a choice on his hand. And as he's making that choice, friend, he turns to the crowd, and this is what he asks, Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus? In other words, what choice will I make concerning Jesus, which is called Christ? Yes, he asked the crowd. And in the making of his choice, yes, God had put concern in his home, and God had put a conflict in his heart, and God indeed had put, obstacles and barricades in his pathway. And now he makes a choice, puts a choice in his hand. And Pilate turns to the crowd and he says, tell me, what will I do with Jesus? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified. And friend, let me tell you tonight, you're just like Pilate. You're faced with a choice. If you're not saved in this gathering tonight, you're faced with Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? You're a sinner. He's a Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He stands at the door of your life. He stands at the door of your heart. He desires to enter in. He desires to give you peace within. He desires to cleanse you from your sin. He says, I stand at the door of your life and I'm knocking. I seek an entrance to your heart. I want to be your Savior, your Lord and your Redeemer. You have to make a choice. Tell me, why aren't you saved? You see, the problem with Pilate was this. People. He asked the crowd. And if you're to go down the streets of Annalong, if you're to go down the streets of Newcastle, if you're to go down the streets of Belfast, if you're to go down the streets of Kilkenny and ask them what you should do with Jesus, let me tell you, their answer would still be the same. You don't need him. Don't be a fool. You don't need Jesus. But remember this. After you ask the crowd, you make the choice. The choice is yours. And Pilate asked the crowd, and then he turned to the crowd, and he took a basin, and he put his hands in the basin, and he did an act in front of them, and he washed his hands in front of them, and he held them up, and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. You say, it's not Pilate's fault anymore. Oh, no, friend, listen. Read the story. It says, after Pilate had scourged Jesus, Pilate delivered him to be crucified. Pilate made the choice. And history tells us that shortly after that, Pilate, who was afraid of the crowd, he lost his position. And then one day, Pilate committed suicide and died in his sin without Christ. Now listen to me carefully. Pilate, this very night, is suffering the consequence of that decision. For whilst you sit in a gospel meeting, hearing the gospel, the good news that Christ can save you, friend, Pilate's in hell. And he's there forever. You make your choice. But you live with the consequences. You have the power to make your choice. You have not the power of the consequences. God has tells you the consequences. The wages of sin is death. It's clear, friend. If you want your sin and you don't want Christ, then I want to tell you this. Whenever it comes to the day that you'll stand before Him, then shall I say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You want your sin, you take its price. And the price of sin is hell forever. Now here we are at the end of a gospel meeting. And friend, you'll make your choice. What shall I do then with Jesus? Will you ask that in your heart tonight? What am I going to do with Jesus? Maybe there's someone here. And friend, you know you need to be saved. You know for years that you need to be saved and right with God. And you need your sins forgiven. You know there is a heaven. You know there's a hell. You know that God means it when He says that if you die in your sin, where Christ is, you'll never be. You know all of that. But the fear of man brings a snare. You're afraid of what people will say. Let me tell you this. People can laugh you into hell. But remember this. They'll never laugh you out of it. For there's no coming back. Eternity. And down in a lost eternity, the soul of Pilate cries out, I made the wrong choice. I made the wrong choice. And he lives with it in hell forever. Regret. Oh, he's haunted with a memory. Why did I ask the crowd? Why didn't I make the decision which I knew I ought to make? Why didn't I listen to my wife when she said, let nothing come between you and him? But I let the crowd. I let the crowd come between. I let my position. And then shortly after he lost it. But he lost his soul for all eternity. You see, friend, when a man dies with Christ in his heart and he goes home to heaven, he never wants back. When a man dies and goes to hell, he never gets back. You make your choice. I'm asking you a question. And I pray the Holy Ghost will print this upon your heart, friend, and follow after you until you make the right choice. What shall I do this night with Jesus, which is called Christ? You'll either accept or you reject him. It's one or the other. But remember, friend, don't forget the consequences.